We shall now turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. So I would like us tonight to consider these verses together, verses 1 to 11 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This week we've all been saddened to hear of the death of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. I was rather interested to notice on Premier Christian News that it stated there that Prince Philip was a lovely Christian gentleman. So you had the idea there of him very much being a Christian. And Gavin Ashenden, who used to be an honorary chaplain to the Queen, he speaks of Prince Philip as being in heaven, waiting for the Queen to come and join him. Now, of course, that may well be the case, and we hope it is. It's not for us to judge. It's not for us to say who's a Christian or who's not. But one thing we do know, that unless we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it doesn't matter how upstanding we are, doesn't matter what service we do for the country, doesn't matter how we are honored by society, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not for us, of course, to judge anyone. That's God's job. But one thing we do know, that no one will get to heaven merely because they are good people. Because none of us are good enough. We must prepare if we expect to go to heaven. And preparation means repentance for our sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again. Nothing short of the new birth will do. It is vital for us that we have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, last week we looked at the verses at the end of chapter 4. These verses from verse 13 of chapter 4 to verse 18, which speak particularly about death and the death of the Christian, those who fall asleep in Jesus. Those who fall asleep in Jesus, the Lord takes with him. And we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, have given their lives to him, trust in him and follow him, we can have good hope that such people have gone to heaven. And we do not sorrow for them as we would for others, of whom we have no such hope. So that part at the end of chapter 4 is dealing particularly with the death of the individual, the fact that when an individual dies as a Christian, they go to heaven, and then at the end of the world, their soul returns, enters into the body, and the body rises from the dead, and body and soul, they go to heaven to be with Christ forever. But we noticed also that those who are not converted, who are not true Christians, born again Christians, when they die, their soul goes immediately to hell. And then at the end of the world, the soul returns into the body. And then they're judged. And they hear the sentence of Christ. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into that place prepared for the devil and his angels. We must remember, there's a hell as well as a heaven. It might be very comforting to think that everybody goes to heaven. But that's certainly not the teaching of Holy Scripture. But this passage that's in front of us today, verses 1 to 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this passage sets before us very clearly the second coming of Christ. That's what it's focusing on. It's telling us to prepare for the future. This world will not go on forever. The day of the Lord is approaching. And that day of the Lord will be the day spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 3. The day when Christ will return and the day when the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and all that is therein shall be burned up. What manner of persons ought we to be then in all holy conversation and godliness, remembering that this world is going to be destroyed? We have to remember that there's a judgment day coming. We must focus upon it. We must prepare to meet our God. There's a need to be aware and ready. Are you prepared? Prepared if Christ were to come tonight? Are you prepared to die? Are you prepared to be judged? Well, first of all, we notice here tonight the foolish security of many. Many people say, as verse 3 puts it, peace and safety. That's their attitude. I'm relatively young. I'm healthy. I'm well. I'm fit. I've got years before me. This week I'm going to do such and such, and in the summer I plan to do this, and later on in the year I'll do the next thing, and next year my plan is so and so, and I have all these plans and ideas. And how do you know that the world will not end tonight? When they shall say peace and safety. I've got a good job. I've got a nice home, I've got my family, everything is fine, nothing to worry about. I've got plenty of money in the bank to see me through. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This world is not going to last forever. Things will not continue as they have done in the past. Yes, day after day seems to be much the same, and year after year, and century after century, and millennium after millennium, but eventually, one day, and it may be one day soon, the world will end. But people think everything's going to work out fine. I haven't hurt anybody. There's lots of people like me around. Lots of people worse than me. I'm sure it'll all work out fine in the end. I'm not really a bad person. You're busy at your work, and you've got plenty of entertainment, lots of activities that you're involved in. There's the music, and the films, and the sport, all the enjoyments that you have. And in a sense, there's no time to think. You drift on. Peace and safety. The Lord sends a pandemic, and He shakes our society, and things happen that we never expected to happen, and all kinds of restrictions come down upon our lives, and you're here tonight, socially distanced, and with masks on. There's all kinds of things you'd love to do that you're not able to do, but at the same time, people are just getting on with it, aren't they? And they think, well, the vaccine has come, and maybe a few more months, and life will be back to normal again. You would think that a pandemic would make people stop and consider. But no, I'm young. It tends to affect old people, much older people than me. I'm safe. I'm secure. It won't trouble me. But we're told here that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Verse 4, brethren, will you be overtaken as a thief? I remember many years ago, shortly after we got married, one Saturday night we went to bed early and didn't hear when somebody broke the kitchen window and then opened the door for his three mates to come with him, and then they went round the lower floor of our house and then came up the stairs. And the first we knew about it was when one of them shone a torch in my wife's face, and she woke up and she woke me. A thief in the night. Thankfully, they hadn't come to hurt us. And when I shouted, they ran away. But how quickly, how suddenly, if we had expected it, would we not have been sitting up waiting for them? Would we not have notified the police? Would we not be readily armed, as it were, to make sure that they didn't invade our property? How silently, suddenly, unexpectedly comes the thief. Will the second coming be like that for you? Just at the very moment when you didn't expect it, there will be a shout from heaven. The voice of the archangel, heard right across the whole world. And the trumpet will blast forth. And the graves will open. And the day of grace and mercy is past. And you will have to go, and so will I, to stand before the great judge to render our account. How quickly has travail upon a woman with child. There's a couple of young women in our congregation who are expecting to have children. The end of July or the end of August, the beginning of September, they expect that their children will be born. They are women with child. And now that they're with child, they cannot escape it. They have to go through childbirth. It's before them. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so it is with each one of us. We're all going to have to face the judge. If you've been born into this world, you've been born in order one day to stand before God. And are you ready? When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Remember the days of Noah. There was Noah building his ark. For 120 years he was building this ark. But for 120 years he was also preaching. And he was telling people, there's a day of judgment coming. There's a day of wrath coming. Soon God is going to start pouring down rain. And the fountains of the great deep shall be opened up. And this world is going to be covered with water. Come and join with me. Come into the ark and you'll be safe. For 120 years he preached. And he had only 7 converts. His wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. They were warned. Ah, but they said, peace and safety. Everything will be fine. There's never been a flood like that before. I'm sure it won't happen. Noah seems so sure about it. Noah's a good man, poor Noah. Let him carry on with his prophecies. Let him carry on with his sermons. But we're not going to do anything about it. And then one day, Noah and the animals entered the ark. The day came when the rain began to fall. And it was too late then to come knocking on the door of the ark and saying, Noah, Noah, let us in. Let us in. We're drowning. Let us in. God had shut the door and Noah couldn't open it. The day of grace was past. Just as it was in Sodom. You remember how the angels were sent to Sodom to warn Lot. And Lot went to warn his sons-in-law. And he told them, tomorrow God's going to send fire and brimstone upon this city. And he seemed to them as one that mocked. It all seemed to be a joke. Fire and brimstone. Who ever heard of that coming down on a city? Well, they all learn the next morning. But when God speaks, it happens. He said the word, and it occurred. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Here you are tonight, and everything's going fine with you. Day after day, week after week, year after year. But one day, the thief in the night. And one day, it'll be too late. Are you ready? Have you prepared? Next, we notice the watchfully wise. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. There's a contrast between those who say peace and safety and those who are not in darkness. Not in the darkness of ignorance or carelessness or blindness. Darkness. How many there are who are in darkness? They've got eyes, but they cannot see. Ears, but they cannot hear. They seem to be alive, and yet they're dead in trespasses and sins. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. The thief comes under cover of darkness. But the thief won't overtake you because you're awake, you're alert. You're waiting, you're expecting. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Your eyes have been opened. You see the danger. There's so many, and they're like blind people walking on the edge of a great precipice. You look, and your heart misses a beat as you see them so close to the edge, and they can't see. Just yesterday I was reading a sermon of Spurgeon, and he told a story about a man who was a painter painting in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. He was painting on the ceiling there. And he had painted this beautiful picture, and he stepped back to admire it. And he stepped back a little bit further. A little bit further, inch by inch he was moving back. Didn't realize that he was on the edge of a platform. One of his workers beside him took a brush, dipped it in the paint, and splattered the painting so that the man rushed forward. And so his life was spared. The painter, if he had shouted, he might have fallen off the edge. But it's like that, isn't it, with so many. They're getting so close to the edge. And any moment, they're gone. Gone. Gone forever. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. The sleeping people, when do they sleep? They sleep at night, of course. And drunkards, when do they do their drinking? Generally, it's at night too. Sleeping and drunk and careless and thoughtless, the sinner asleep. And then, destruction. Asleep in the house, and the thief comes in, but he comes in with a dagger. Not just looking for money and then running away, but coming with a dagger. How helpless we would have been that night if these guys had attacked us, lying in bed, sleeping. They that sleep, sleep in the night. Are you sleeping? Spiritually sleeping? They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Remember a year or two ago there was a great fire in the hotel at Loch Lomond side. And there were two young fellows there. And they were consumed in the flames. They perished. There's a fire on. There's danger. Wake up. Wake up. Prepare. Christ is coming. He's going to judge. He's going to cast men and women into hell. Are you ready? But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Awake, watch, pray. So we have the foolish security of so many. Indeed, the vast majority of people in this world say, peace and safety. Everything will be fine. Some have no religion. They don't believe in God. Others have some religion and they find some comfort in their religion. Some have false religion. Some have maybe the true religion, but they've just got a little bit of it. They're not born again. They're saying peace and safety, and they think that they will get to heaven. But the sudden destruction comes. But then there are those like you who are watchfully wise, who are not sleepy. Remember the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And while they waited for the bridegroom, they all slumbered and slept. But you know, there was a difference. Some were ready. So even although they were sleeping, when the bridegroom came, they were ready to join him. They had lamps and they had oil in their lamps. But the foolish, they had no oil in their lamps. When the bridegroom came, their lamps went out. And so they couldn't join the marriage party. They couldn't enter the marriage feast. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Next, we notice the armor that is required if we are going to be prepared. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Judgment and wrath is coming like a thief. You need armor to prepare to protect yourself, particularly to protect your vital organs, to protect your heart and your lungs, the breastplate, the breastplate of faith and love. To protect your head, the helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. The breastplate of faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in the Lord Jesus, receiving and embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is vital. What must I do to be saved? Faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe and you'll be saved. But if you fail to believe, you won't be saved. And whatever you do, if you don't have faith, you won't be saved. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're an effectually called person, a real Christian. Make sure that you're one of God's elect. How can you make sure? By giving diligence to add to your faith virtue. Build upon faith. Faith is basic. Trust in Christ. Receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ freely offered to you in the gospel. Build upon faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. Temperance patience, patience godliness. Godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. The breastplate of faith. None perish who trust in him. Faith claims Christ. The shield of faith, able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do you have that faith? That faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith. Faith is like the breastplate. And it's called the breastplate also of love. Now it's not that there's two breastplates, there's only one. But it's a faith that worketh by love. a faith that expresses itself in love. The faith comes first and the love follows. By nature we hate God. We are alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works. We will not have this man to rule over us. We wish that there was no God. We'd be far happier if God was dead. But then when we're converted, everything changes. When we put our faith in Jesus, then we love him because we realize that he first loved us and he took our sins upon himself and he died for us on the cross. And we love him who first loved us. Our hearts are overflowing with love towards him and appreciation for all that he did for us. The breastplate of love. When you're given the gift of faith and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're overcome with love for him. Love to God. Love to God's people. Yes, and love to all. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. But Jesus goes further and he says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despise you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Love your neighbor as yourself. The breastplate of love. Faith and love united together, composing this protective armor. Do you have faith? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the helmet of hope. Notice how we have faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Why hope last? Because hope looks into the future. And hope deals with heaven and the things that lead to heaven. We've been talking about this coming day. And hope gives us protection as we think of the future. The head is a very vulnerable organ. If you're working on a building site nowadays, you have to wear a helmet. If you're riding a bike or a motorcycle, you must wear a helmet. The head is vulnerable. It's got to be protected. And here we have the protection that the Lord Jesus gives us, the helmet of hope. And how is hope a helmet? Well, hope is God's promises of blessing, claiming them for ourselves. Hope is like an anchor, sure and steadfast, fixed within the veil, an anchor fixed in heaven. But you need a strong cable to the anchor, and the cable is faith. By faith you take God's words, God's promises. By faith you take the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. And on the basis of faith, you have a sure and certain hope of heaven. You claim the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor the covenant of my peace, saith the Lord, that hath mercy upon thee. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that is against you shall cease. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My God is my helper. Why should I be afraid? I will be with you till the end of the age. And your death will be falling asleep in Jesus. And those that fall asleep in Jesus, the Lord brings with him. You have hope. You have hope for life. You have hope for the future, for tomorrow, for next year, for death whenever it comes, for the second coming of Christ. You have hope for eternity. Because you have Christ, you have hope. And that hope protects your head and keeps away the fears and the despondency, the anxiety of the future. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Do you have that hope? Lots of people say, I hope everything will be fine. I hope I'll get to heaven when I die. Well, you need something more than a dreamy hope. You need a strong hope, a firm hope, a hope that's grounded on the Word of God and the work of Christ. And then finally, comfort and edification. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. There's great comfort here for the Christian. Are you a child of God tonight? Don't fear the future. Don't fear the second coming of Christ. Be like the bride in the book of Revelation, praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We live in a world of pains and troubles. And if you haven't had pains in the past, you'll have them in the future. But fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The best is yet to be. Just this last week, I was talking to Mrs. Violet Baxter. She's not been well for the last 3 weeks. She's an old lady, but she was saying, I'm just longing to get home, longing to be with Christ. Sometimes the Lord is to send troubles to us in order to make us long to be with Christ. The best is yet to be. The Christian has a great future. There's nothing sadder than seeing people growing old in sin. You look at them, maybe neighbors of your own, and you're seeing them getting older and older. They're no longer able to do the things they used to do, and their life is becoming narrower and narrower and more feeble and more pained and more distressed, and they've got no hope for the future, clinging miserably onto a miserable life in this world. When before us, there's paradise, there's glory, there's heaven. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. There's great comfort in this, no comfort for the wicked. The false prophets of the Old Testament, they used to say, peace and safety. Peace, peace, when there is no peace, saith God to the wicked. And the false ministers of today say, everything's fine, everybody goes to heaven, don't worry, nothing to worry about. Your loved ones die, but oh, they're in paradise, they're waiting for you there. When you die, you'll go to heaven too, and everything will be wonderful. It's certainly not the teaching of the scriptures or of the Bible. It's the false prophets, the false ministers. And they're saying, peace, peace. when there's no peace for the wicked, but judgment and damnation, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And every one of us is wicked, and every one of us deserves to go to hell. So it's only through faith in Christ that we can escape. It's only by being born again that we get to heaven. Ah, but God has appointed a wonderful heaven for the Christian. Yes. Verse 9, God hath appointed some to wrath, but not you. God has loved you from all eternity. The Son of God died for you on Calvary's cross. He came, he suffered, he died, he rose again. He has earned heaven for you. You won't go to hell. You put your trust in Jesus. He told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. Tell them the good news. Tell them the wonderful message that I died for sinners. And every sinner who comes to me and trusts in me will be saved. Tell them the good news. That's what ministers should be doing. Not telling people that they'll get to heaven because everybody goes to heaven. Or they'll get to heaven because they've been serving their fellow man so diligently, or because they haven't done anything terribly bad in their life. The only way we can get to heaven is through faith in the blood of Christ. But you, brethren, be encouraged. You are loved from all eternity, chosen unto salvation. Chosen and loved before the foundations of the world. Christ has come. He suffered for you. He's endured your hell in your place. He died for us. Verse 10, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. You're united to Christ, and nothing will separate you from Christ. You're prepared. There's a great future in front of you. Comfort yourselves. Edify one another. Even as also you do. I know you do it, you Thessalonians. I know you do it, you Christians here in Knightswood. Yes, you do. You edify one another. Continue to do that. Keep on encouraging each other to believe in Jesus, to repent daily of your sins, to be looking to Christ and following him and giving your life to him. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. And fear not the future. You're wide awake. You're children of the night, children of the light, and children of the day. You're not of the night or of darkness. You're waiting for the coming, and when he comes, you will receive him with joy. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come and usher in the perfect kingdom where there's no sin, and where we will be with you, our beloved Saviour, forevermore. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we thank thee that thou hast given to us the teachings of the Scriptures, and we pray that we would love this truth, that we would delight in these things, that we would rejoice in the revelation that has been made to us. We thank thee that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that he's coming again at the end of the world. We look forward to that coming. Prepare us more and more for it, and help us every day to be numbering our days and applying our hearts unto wisdom. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.